So that's why I'm leading the delegation here, and I just wanted to indicate to the members that it's not by way of disrespect. One person who does not come to the portfolio committee, but unfortunately, because of the agenda items of the cabinet committee, so it needs to be the president.
So, for the promise of my name, the president is saying to him.
What is that with madam? Some commitment. Some commitment. But what is it? You can't do an apology for some commitment. Apology for the reason. Yeah. Commitment. What is commitment? Okay. Madam, commitment. It's recorded like that. Commitment.
Thank you, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Dalani, and all honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, officials from the department led by the PGA, and Parliament officials present. We are here to present finally the report which was delayed at the time when we presented the PGA and the NUCA report. And we did give reasons as to the delay itself, and but we did commit that we'll come back to the portfolio committee before the end of the year to present the annual report. And here we are to present the particular annual report. As indicated at the time, that we do have a disclaimer, and it was already public knowledge from arising from the annual, the auditor general's report, and which we knew that members already knew, so we had indicated that the CWP program is the one that had made us to receive this claim. And there were quite a number of issues that in the presentations will elaborate and then give further reviews to them, and also what is it that we're going to be doing to avert this not arising again. The issue of the assets, the issues of the accruals, as the minister did explain, the matter of this presentation. So the report will then be presented on them, and also the actual remedial actions that are going to be taken. Then there's a matter that continuously moves with this CWP. It's an irregular expenditure, which is an accumulative of 4 years. The matter has been with us for that period. We are currently engaging with the DG to see if we cannot find a way of getting a condonement, and all the issues that arose out of that expenditure have been explained in the engagement with the AG, and we are just on the process of finding each other and resolving all the issues. But because there's still no condonement, it will keep on reflecting until that condonement is there. So if we see it from time to time, it's because those negotiations and talks are still going on. Hopefully, in the next financial year, we hope it will then be addressed. On the issues of the CWP program, the department will indicate some highlights on the comprehensive model of how we are now beginning to deal in a very comprehensive way in dealing with those particular issues of assets, accruals, and goods and services. The design has now been completed. It's still just going through the process of being adopted at the departmental level with the minister. And then once it is ready, it will then be brought back here to yourself to say, going forward, it is what we're going to do so that this issue is not right again. However, they will just give some highlights for now in terms of the presentation. Then the last chair is the as you go through the report itself, you will see achievement and not achieved. At the level of the achievement, we are at 71%. The report says so. We were at 91% in 2017-2018, but now in 2018-2019, we 2016 was 91%, and now we are at 71%. Due to three factors. First is the external factors, which they will then be explaining as to why we can achieve certain programs. There are those particular external factors. And then secondly is the targets that are dependent on other departments delivering. We are either joined for each department, and if they do not perform and they do not deliver, it then has an impact on us. So, and yet we have put it as a target. The third category will be those that obviously are internally, and either we have been too ambitious with our targets. They were not as smart, and measurable, and achievable, and we're enthusiastic. And we put in those particular targets. And obviously, as we move along with the particular report and then it's go to the annual report, we might then have to relook at them to be so that when we say we're going to achieve this, we'll be to achieve that. So those are the issues that will then arise in the report, and they'll be explaining on each of them. Instead of focusing on the achievement, the presentation will then go more on the not achieved and giving explanation of what we're doing and the major actions thereof. Chair, with that, then I want to put over to the DG to then introduce the team and then also ask whoever is going to present it to the presentation.
Thank you. Thank you for that summary. And the honorable member, good morning. I think the DM has made an outline of what we will be presenting here. But Chairperson, maybe before I go into the presentation itself, if anyone likes presentation, we will go through it very quickly. We will get in our slides. Because it's mainly the 90s. But maybe just to say preliminary things. I know in all those points in the minute. Just to say that as this honorable committee members, we are presenting this report, the annual report, after the normal time that is for, we asked for extension, which was approved, that we will only be able to table the report end of November. So as far as that is concerned, we stuck to our promise. But I think, Jefferson, I want to say that it should not be taken as a norm that the department will present the annual report. So we would want to indicate that this was just an extraordinary situation. It will not in any way become a norm. We will present in time. As a matter of fact, the one for 18-19, it will definitely be on time. The other thing I wanted to just mention to the committee is that the year under review was a difficult one for this department, because the better part of it, they were without, if I put it that way, a permanent account officer. They were led by a tech team. In fact, the department struggled to get a permanent DG for more or less 18 months. So it was a difficult year for the department. Having said that, Chairperson, allow me just to go into the main issues. We have divided the presentation into four parts. Part A will be the comments on predetermined objectives, which the PM already shared some light on. Part B will be financial performance. Part C will be responding to the issues that this committee has raised that it wanted us to and part D is a post-COVID action plan. And then we'll then continue. Now, Chairperson, I was not going to the mandate of the department because it is well known. With the vision and mission of the department, as you know, and the objectives, they have not changed. So they remain the same. The legislative framework under which we operate has not changed. I'm not going to really delve into that. Now, the DM has already indicated that the performance in the under review declined from 91% to 2016-17 to 71% in the under review, which is 17-18. Now, and the reasons will show, will indicate them as we now go into the individual program. Under program one, that's seven. The one matter that was not achieved under this program, otherwise that was fully achieved. I must also say, Chairperson, that the view we have adopted is that if we have partially achieved, we don't say that. We fall under not achieved. Because there are some where we partially achieved, but we thought we must be 100% achieved. The first one there, where we said we'll improve on the department impact, our response, that one was not achieved, but the action that we would take is that the department is supposed to monitor the implementation of integrated management tools, which is a new tool which is practiced throughout the whole of national government. But we'll also be discussing that with the AG so that we are on the same platform as far as that is concerned. So we will pretty much working on that one. I know we're going to have a workshop just so that there's a clear understanding on that one. Program two, we have set ourselves to study achieve a number of special contracts with facilitated restructuring zones, but that was not achieved. In totality, and I think the problem was internal. It was not an external issue, because here we decided to focus on the intermediate issue. Instead of testing our target, we now decided to focus on intermediary cities, which are the cities just immediately below the metro. And this was in support of the IEDF implementation. So our shift in the priority made us not to achieve that. But again, Chairperson, maybe we the lesson learned is that if we change midstream and focus on something else, and then desert our main objective, that doesn't work well, because in the APP, it's an unachievement. So we hope to improve on what that is. On program two, Well, the number of municipalities supported to implement red tape reduction initiatives in line with national red tape reduction strategy. Now, the red tape reduction strategy is actually under the small business development department. So there was a deviation there because there's a bill that still has to take place and it's not yet there, so but we are participating in the workshops there. So this is one of those targets that don't entirely rely, depend on us, but we share it with the others. So going forward, the lesson would be to say that we should set ourselves targets that we have got complete control over, because it depends on someone else. If things don't happen there, then you end up not achieving. Program 3, this is about the work committee operational plan. Now, this one, of course, it had also potential overtones, apart from the fact that essentially, as national government, as national government, the issue is, do we really have to concern ourselves with the operational plan at a ward level? So again, it's just some of those targets that we set ourselves and which are very difficult to achieve. But there are also other issues where in some cities they would not want to establish the ward. In some cities where maybe the council would decide that they are not establishing ward committees and so on. And then of course that affected our performance on that as well. But going forward, there is an external matter in that if the council decides they are not going to go into the ward committee system, it becomes difficult then to implement. But I think going forward, we will refine that target so that as national government, we are not responsible necessarily for the operational plan at ward level. That should be a municipal responsibility. But we support municipalities to ensure that the ward committees are functional. But the plan, operational plan, we have to leave them to the municipalities. Program 3, checkers and institutional development. We have only one target that's not achieved there. Slide 15. Which is the number of reports on training initiatives for municipal officials. There were two reports. Drafted but not finalized due to competing priorities again. But we believe we will still be able to achieve this one going forward. Program 4, National Disaster Management Center, achievement rate 100%. There are no issues there. Everything achieved. And I think this has to be commended, chapter 10, taking into consideration the fact that we have difficult times of drought and fires and so on, emergency situations. But the plans are able to achieve all 100% of what it is. Program 6, community work program. Yeah, that is slide 18. Although this is not my little friend to the elephant in the room, but of course, not everything that was said as target when presented. You know, actually, again, there was one main target that was not achieved, and that relates to the number of participants trained. That was partial, but as I said, we record it as unachieved. And the reasons outlined there, the delay in first and second quarter procurement of training providers. And this is now prioritized so that we don't get to the same problem again. Now that then concludes the comments on predetermined objectives, the branch of the program. So, Chair President, I'll now quickly just go through the initial performance, slide 23. Here with the expenditure per economic classification, and the classifications were as follows: the current payments, there the performance expenditure at the end of the year under review, so that is 4.8%. Compensation of employees, their departments by 93.5%. Goods and services, 84.2% was spent. Transfer and subsidy, 98.1% was spent. Payments for capital assets, they will spend 41%. Payment for financial assets, that was 100%, and the total expenditure per economic classification, the HFS, was 97.3 overall. Then that leads us to slide 24, where we'll then look at expenditure per program in the year under review. Administration, the expenditure was 99.2%. Regional and urban development, the expenditure in that program was 93.5%. Institutional development, expenditure 97.5%. National disaster management, the center there, the performance was 90.5%, health system 99.7%, community health program, the performance was the least at 85.6%. So overall, the department expenditure stood at 94.3%, which is pretty much within the norm. Now the just on the what is the yeah, and I'll do some other of the state of expenditure of the economic cluster. I think that is done already. So that was done. Now we have outlined on page 25, slide 25, Jefferson, the reasons for underpinning. So we want to end those compensation to employees, business services, transfers and subsidies. We have also end those business there. Now, slide 26, very careful then. Comes to the audit outcome for the end of 2017-18. And we are saying, as we have said before, and as we have also had when the AG addressed this committee, that for this year under review, the department achieved a prima opinion. And as we have already indicated, again, this will not be enough. We believe that it is something that it should be, it's not insurmountable, we should be able to get it right. It's not rocket science. We, in this regard, we have, because as the DM has indicated, the main issues, or the main issue for the FLEMA was, of course, the things happening in the CWP. And the CWP, both in the design of it, how it is designed, and how government works in terms of its regulatory framework, the design of this CWP, if it does not change, then there will always be a challenge. Now, there were issues relating to goods and services, also the accrual, irregular expenditure, and the issue of assets. Now, we have a whole plan on page 265 of the annual report. Now, there we are outlining how that is a plan basically to address all the issues that led to the claim and beyond. We this is 4 and 65. So that plan we have discussed it with the AG. So we were working with the AG when we came to that plan. So we believe, together with the AG, that if we address things according to that plan, then we shouldn't be talking a disclaimer. And we believe that we have already started dealing with that plan. It is work in progress, but we would want to then share the progress on this plan with the portfolio committee as time goes, so that we can present to you the progress on exactly what have we done so far. For example, on this, where we talked about the assets already discussed, we have, for example, as it is now, we have changed, we have adopted a policy where the assets for this CWP, because at the moment, when we say assets for CWP, we include the box and SBTM was already indicated, you know, the box and the SOSAS and the Wilbur and so on. Now, those things were So whatever those implementing agents are, it belongs to us. So there will be in some fog, in some makeshift kitchen somewhere, and a knife. So you can't find that one. This is what ultimately leads to freedom. So we have now adopted a new policy where those will not be, they will be consumables. So we take them out of the main activities. So that's just an example that we've already begun to work on these methods. Now, we also looked at now Part C, Jefferson, that's about the response to, because this portfolio committee has made certain recommendations to the department. And we've outlined there the recommendation of the committee, and our responses are outlined there as well. And we have reason to believe that we have addressed your recommendations as outlined by yourselves. The one that I would also want to just get your attention to is the one on page on slide 33. Now, that is the one on. So this committee recommended that together with National Treasury, ESCOM, and the Department of Water and Sanitation, we should devise a plan to have the issue of fair food by Minister to ESCOM and Water Board resolved. Now, we are at a very advanced stage when it comes to this one. We, the portfolio members would remember, we had appointed an advisory panel. They have now completed their work. But one of the milestones in what they were recommending there was to, but first and foremost, we said to resolve who is the distribution authority within the area of jurisdiction of the municipality. Is it ESCOM or is it the municipality or is it both? Because the constitution refers to the executive authority. Now, as we know, the authority in water, the water service authority issue is not a problem. It would be the local municipality or the district, unless if they want to delegate it to water board and so on. But the water authority is not. But the electricity distribution authority has always been a point of contention between ESCOM and the municipalities. Now, the recommendation here that we're getting from, because of the panel engagement of senior council, and the recommendation is that the authority in electricity distribution regulation, as contemplated by the constitution, that is the municipality and not ESCOM. Now, of course, then that means if you want to do business on electricity within the municipal area of jurisdiction, you have to ask for permission from the municipality. And the Municipal Systems Act is very clear that there must be what they call a service delivery agreement between the municipality and whoever wants to distribute or to give it to, because the municipality is the authority. So that is now where we are. Today the minister is presenting this to a cabinet committee. He's presenting this report to the cabinet transfer committee. And we believe that there should be a consensus in those committees agreeing with the recommendation. But of course, it's a milestone, and it may help with some far-reaching repercussions. Because amongst other things, it means that if ESCOM is distributing electricity in Soweto, they must ask for, they must sign an agreement with the city of Joburg, and then the city of Joburg must also charge them. They must get some surcharge, they must get some revenue out of them distributing in their area of jurisdiction. So it means that there's some revenue that the municipalities would have to get in those areas where ESCOM is distributing. Or they could just say, look, if you can't sign, then you are not allowed to distribute, because then that's unconstitutional. So those are the issues that going forward may have to. I must say that ESCOM, although they kind of agree with this, but they are concerned about the repercussions of this. And therefore, our view is that then we should together develop what we call a service delivery agreement framework. Yeah, how should this thing be in such a way that it does not necessarily hurt ESCOM, because ESCOM is a very critical story. They work with the market out there, and therefore a kind of a win-win arrangement. For example, we don't think we should say, because all along maybe as common service, but it was unconstitutional. Then it's a retrospective thing. You must pay the municipalities those monies that would have been due to them. We don't believe that we should be retrospective, because that would destroy ESCOM. So that is the one chairperson. The audit plan was just passed. The post audit plan, I think chairperson, we've already dealt with this one. Has to be encapsulated in the annual report. So that is already covered. Now, I want to pause here, Chairperson, and then you will take the questions from the members and other people in my team. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DG, for the presentation. Colleagues, then we invite hands for those who want to comment and to some questions. I know that you must be tired of doing this report for many of you. This doesn't seem still a major problem. I think you'll assist us anyway to take us through what is new now that you are doing to address the problem of schools and coffees and all. When I will wait, I will check or follow. Mr. Dube. Madam Chair.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much for the presentation. I just have one question. Where the presentation talks to the issue of the road committee. I thought the issue addressed in such a way. I hear that in some municipalities, it looks like to them it is optional. And they decide not to have it. I just wanted to get that is then it must be implemented by the chair. Chair, I was also expecting a turnaround strategy. Or could the department explain to us, especially the issue of the wage paid to participants in your life expectancy? What are the new strategies that the department is going to resolve this matter? Or those that were found on the wrong side of the law, what exactly? Anything that's been done around this matter, where wrong people were paid and others were paid, tried, what is your general strategy about this? And the, also the issue of the accrual. The accrual, the way you basically know that the department will pay notes on your program. Your program is good. You spend up to most of your program up to maybe about 97. You still have some accrual where invoices are paid without due process. Just want to know the general strategy of the department.
Honorable Stover,
mine is on escrow. What is the department planning to do in going forward now that it's clear that escrow money is operating within the boundaries of the municipality? Indeed, the municipality must be able to supply the direct they have. So in going forward, in view of the fact that most of the municipalities are interested, I think that the only source of income is electricity that we are able to move forward.
What has been the department's response to the situation where communities insist that they be supplied by ESCOM and not municipality? Because what some communities are now contemplating is that they intend to hold payments to the municipality based on year in, year out, books that report of mismanagement. How would the department actually respond to a situation where the community comes to the department and say, we are sick and tired, yet in the house, reports of the Inspector General indicate that this municipality is accountable for. Now we intend, because where I come from, the community is immortalized. Saying that you are going to draw up a program to say it is an account where every member of the community should actually pay into. But we've been saying there are no services, but there are financial mismanagement in the administration. So time has come for us now to create an account, community account, where everybody is going to pay into. What would be the department's response to that?
Let me just deal with the issue of the work committee. It's true that the structure is in the structure act, and all municipalities are obliged to establish committees. And there are two municipalities that need other external factors not to achieve the goal of the operational planning, because you can only go to where there's a work committee to inspect operational planning. That is the Tshwane Metro Municipality and making my own in the Free State. In Tshwane, we have 107 odd
but there's not what committee needs, because the party in charge is in the CRC, people decided that they are not going to establish what committees, and they took the matter to court in a way to say we're not going to. Whatever arguments that they presented, but they did not meet in court because it's in the act, it's in the law. And they were complaining about the expenditure, that they are spending so much money on just sustaining what committees they could be using that money for other things other than sustaining those committees. But they didn't win it in court because participatory democracy requires that there's an elective part of it and there's also participatory part of it. So we need to also try and ensure that transparent democracy is alive across the nation. Having lost in court, the department is engaged with the municipality now to now say let's operationalize so that they can be compliant with the law to establish. But the narrative has is that because 68 of those laws are under the ANC and 39 are under the DA, it will be empowering another party to be in control and power perpetually in those laws. So I think that's the issue. As you said, the DG said that political overtones is real politics, nothing else. So that has to go to court to try and win the argument on the court which they could not win. So we hope therefore that in due time we need to pressurize them to say you are now in violation of the structure. And then if they don't move, then maybe the department might then have to act on the municipality. But we have left negotiations, but negotiations cannot be perpetual. They need to get done where we say we have spoken, we have lost in court, now go and implement. Close your eyes if you feel you are empowering another party. It's not about that in participatory democracy that we want to see everything on the ground. And in Mr. Maholi, it was as a result of the municipality that became dysfunctional and collapsed, as you all remember. And then there had to be fresh elections just after 2016. And those elections were held last year, 2017. And it's only now that the municipality is on the rise. So they also got to get. So at least they're helping them now toward setting up a date for election of the whole committee in line with the structure that has been set up. Thank you very much.
Okay. I think that the wages and alleged payments to the district and so on, in our plan, that is to every 2-4 of that annual report, we are planning there exactly what we will do. In terms of the system, we will tap into the EPWP system so as to alleviate some of it. But I might even want to say that with this we would also want to explore ways of whether, because we're told some people cannot, some of the participants are not educated, and therefore people say they sign, they put a cross and so on, which is easily manipulated. It can be manipulated. So we will explore the biometric system. We know that in EPWP, I think they are beginning to explore that. So well, that would be the only issue. So you can't cut someone's finger or anything. So we're exploring that. But I think in terms of consequence management, we are going to go into an investigation. We have agreed with the minister that we will go into an investigation, and wherever we be found wanting, then there will be consequences. So, and that will be a forensic audit of all where these things are going to be. Of course, some of them are no longer there because it happened in there. There are new ones now. But we'll follow the matter up through the forensic audit.
so that those who are found guilty can take necessary action. And we'll share this with the committee as well. On accruals, we took in there of the centralization of function for reading invoices and the recording thereof, and the automation of invoice register, and also develop the service standard for payment of suppliers. Now, as I said, as we implement this, we'll share with the progress. But we believe if we implement this plan, we should be able to resolve some of the issues. The issue about ESCOM, I think the status quo would kind of remain for now until that service delivery agreement framework is developed. So how do we go forward? So we don't see ourselves immediately saying to municipalities, okay, it stops here. Now cases come out, if they don't sign, this is your authority. So we want to come up with that service delivery as contemplated in the MSA. And our intention is that it should go to cabinet as well. And then the cabinet must adopt that so that it is very clear. You don't allow, because it can go out of hand if it's not managed. So it might be that the status quo will be maintained for a while we come up with that framework. What the agreement should look like, what are the implications on ESCOM, what are implications on the municipalities. Now, the opening of trust accounts is illegal. So, as a department, we move from the premise that, you know, if you do that, it's illegal, because you're supposed to pay your for services you have to pay to the municipalities and what, opening some trust accounts and so on. But of course, we have had challenges from the business side. With the weekdays, the municipality doesn't pay as well, and then our business would then are in trouble. It's not fair. And that's why then they actually took the president to court and said, no, but government is not, needs to come in. National government needs to deal with this. And, well, this matter went to court, but there was an out-of-court settlement. So they said that those municipalities that are prepared for, and the government must come up with plans, turn around those municipalities and ensure that there's revenue enhancement. And I think we're given something like 6 months. You know, if that is not sorted within 6 months, then it may then have to go back to court. So this is a real problem for every municipality and of course, as you know, the municipalities, I mean, if we just give an example of Maludia Pupu owes ESCOM 2.8 million. When you analyze their financial position, there's no way they will be able to ever pay that. So one of the things that we're doing in this interministerial committee is to look at those, to say what would be the possible solution. There's no way that Maludia Pupu would have 2.8 million to pay ESCOM. So What should then happen? Shouldn't we then say, how do we deal with arrears? And then so that we can enable the current account. Because if a municipality can be able to pay this current account, why do we deal with the arrears? Then so be it. And we're not talking necessarily bailout, but
the 20 municipalities that are most indebted to ESCOM, most of them also owe the board, the water board, and the water treating entities. So they are heavily indebted. They may not be able to. But of course, the people don't pay that, the residents don't pay that as well. So in the IMTT, we try to adopt a holistic approach to say, how can we make residents and businesses also pay the municipalities so that then they are able to pay the ESCOM and the water board. So you need a holistic solution, because it just doesn't help the municipality. Municipalities are owed now almost 140 billion. So ESCOM is owed approximately 17 billion. But of course, Soweto alone owes ESCOM more than what those 20 municipalities owe ESCOM. And Soweto is under ESCOM. So it needs a holistic approach, not a piecemeal. So that's what we are working on in the IMCC.
Yes, on your page 10, your problem page, and you have the main report questions. Just want to concentrate mostly on those that are understanding. We've got an understanding of 3.5% in terms of the Indigenous Revenue Act, especially DORA. We have not made that requirement. What has been done in this regard? Or is any progress that we can do in that one? And also go to 6. On 6 again, from the National Disaster Management Center, 38.39.8% there. And what is the progress made on this one? I would want to know on that one. And also,
afternoon, Chairperson. Afternoon, honorable members. Going straight to the point, which is program 3 for 2.5%. This allocation is allocation for equitable share. And it affects 3 departments. It's our department and monitoring evaluation and national treasury. More especially if municipalities are found not to have complied with one of the grants, conditional grants that goes to them. And if they fail to perform in certain grants, we agree to withhold that allocation for that current financial year. And in most instances, at the end of the financial year, that money is then requested through National Treasury as a rollover. But in the current financial year, we didn't get a rollover for that amount. It was surrendered to National Treasury. For NDMC, which is National Disaster Management Center, the allocation of underspending mostly is for disaster relief, for the immediate relief of disasters. In these instances, it's when municipalities, through their own reserves, cannot spend within their allocation, is then that they go to the national department to request assistance. So it all depends on, because it's not certain if at all municipalities through their allocation they will spend or they will request additional funding. But in that current financial year, which is 2017 and 18, we couldn't spend the whole allocation because of the uncertainty of the allocation. You might spend all of it, you might not spend all of it.
On the workshop that you held before 10, I just want to know from a special occasion that does the department have the, particularly the NDP, which for the provincial level? I know you had some workshops on that.
I'm saying that the department
had some planned workshop to try as you support the province. So my question is simply that do you have an NDP now planned for all so that the work that is done in the provincial level is got also synchronized and it talks to a national plan. Do you have it?
Maybe it's just a shame to... Okay, we... At the municipal level, we have the IDP, which is with guides municipal. Then at the provincial level, they have what they call provincial growth and development strategy. So those strategies are supposed to talk to the IDPs at local level and the NDP at national level. So, but often you find that there's disparity in those. Now, we have now established what we call an interministerial committee, that team on service delivery. Now that IMCT on service delivery is bringing together what it was decided in the PCC, the Presidential Coordination Committee. So now that IMCT brings together all the at national level, the relevant departments that deal with service delivery, and then the provinces coming, we've discussed with them in the MIMEC, so they are coming to, so that this the integrated development. What do you do at provincial level? How does it talk to the NDP? And how does it talk to the IDP? Now, we also then met with the municipalities on that, just talking about the integration of service delivery. So we, in our support for municipalities and the provinces, that is very high on the agenda. As a matter of fact, we have been to a strategic planning session where we are now changing the how COPTA looks to address those kinds of things, those issues as well, capture the actual mandate of COPTA and so on. So it will be a new look that now takes into consideration those kinds of things. So there's a branch that is going to be dealing with that integrated IDP. How does everyone do things in terms of the target in the NDP?
I think you've covered it mostly. It's quite interesting, since I joined the department, this question is asked every year. We actually do work with the province because we've got two workshops every first 6 months and second 6 months. We deal with the indicator, we deal with the NDP, we make sure that the synergy between a local provincial as well as national. So that is always been catered.
No, I wanted to hear that actually the synchronization that after your workshop, what are the results?
Okay. Yeah.
April, which official is paid exactly for that?
Thanks, Chairman. Afternoon, honorable members of the Honorable Chairperson. I'm Chairman of the team, responsible for corporate training and monitoring evaluation. We are responsible for ensuring that the indicators that are in the MTSF find expression in the provincial annual performance plan. So we have customized indicators that all provinces should be having in their annual performance plan. So those indicators are talking issues that are in the medium-term strategic framework. So that alignment then happens where we facilitate those workshops where each and every province sign off on indicators that have to find expression in their annual performance plan, so that that alignment finds itself expression in the integrated development plan of the province. So there, those indicators are catered for within all the provincial APPs, and in the past financial year, all the HOPs have signed off on those indicators and included them in the annual performance plan of the province.
How are you monitoring?
The provinces submit quarterly reports to us and to the PMB. The provinces submit quarterly reports to us and to the PMB where we monitor whether they are implementing those indicators that they have set out in their annual policy. So then we feed back to them to say, we have agreed that we include this indicator, you have not reported on it. And give feedback to provinces that they need to report on each and every indicator. So that we find, we ensure that the NDP is indeed implemented. To remember, for us, it's mainly on outcome line, on the efficient and effective local government system, where all those indicators that are in the outcome line have found expression in the provincial area. So we monitor them on the program.
They are missing the target.
We are definitely trying to meet the target. I know you will be satisfied with 100%, but we can still above 90.
Above 90, yeah.
So I think that should be satisfactory.
About 90.
And we still have a quarter.
Yes, that was that the municipality, many of them have collapsed. This is at the age in general. And there are a lot of things that are not going very well. So the Mkuleni, Jacob Cowell, the people who have gone to invite the army, very well to invite the army to assist. The army has declared war on Swaziland. There are problems generally in another area, because I think the evaluation in other areas is difficult. And then I'm just let alone that the Zamazamas are doing everything under Johannesburg. And there are a lot of things that are happening in general. There may be good in terms of our work, our paper, our work, but I just guess that when you go down there, you can realize that there are things that are not correct. And department that is supposed to coordinate the entirety of government. Because I'm told anyway, TM, that they're not coordinating only for local government, but the entire government system, you know. So they should be able to. We should be able to pick up some of these big areas working together with the monitoring and evaluation department, that we don't let or chop anything like that collapsing. And then I hope also that the people who can also assist us to keep this thing early on when the Parabana hospital is not doing well. Because they are coordinating the entire system of governance in the country, not just on the local government side of things, but the entire governance in the country. And I think we should move on, and I think we will meet the target. Members signed up to the other, you know, so in the morning, I said, I think also just before, and I said, banana, then my pop will be a family. Okay.
Then, my last question was on page 19, our keeping of the organizational structure. Remember, Chair, we are dealing with this department that we are going to have a problem with. How are we going to turn around the corner if we have such priorities in the department? How far do we get the progress report on that? On the market within the department. Look at this organizational structure, key position of the department that really wants, and that can assist the department to perform. And all of us in terms of how is the department dealing with this problem? Because this is one of the things that will take us to work. No matter what programs we are developing, if there are such issues, how are you dealing with it?
Okay.
I think it's good that members of your region this, because then it gives us the opportunity to also correct. That vacancy where the chief director is internal audit, that is where the chief audit executive is. So that is no longer vacant, it's filled. And the chief audit executive is here. Maybe we can, his name is Mr. Mucha. So yeah, that is the new, that is the chief audit executive. So that vacancy is no longer there. And then there's one that says regional weapon development zone. That has now been merged with the one below under post. So it's also not vacant. So there's no vacancy there. And then the institutional development, we are at a very advanced stage of filling that position. We believe that before close of business, with the X, it should be filled. So then that would then mean that actually the top structure would be pretty much community web program. That one, we believe it is linked to the model that we will adopt. Because if we appoint now, and then the model is different. So what is the strategy? What strategy we believe must come before structure. So what we don't have strategy for CWP. And then we will feel that once we have agreed what model of CWP are we adopting for.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
any other questions?
Thank you very much. Did you, Chairperson, because we are now begging for the duty was responding to Honorable Sayers on the vacancy that we said in the department by the DG.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Chair, and thanks to the members of the committee. As you were leaving, I think the relationship, I'm not going to respond to them, but just to say to the committee that at some point, obviously, it's good to invite the department around the impact, because sometimes it's good to the compliance on policies on what you spend money on. But what is the impact going down on the ground to start to deliver on a better life of people, that it improve the running of our municipalities, to see what we think we ought to do as we move around the streets, I mean, cities, communities, our transit streets. So those are the impact elements that we should have. And annual report doesn't deal much with the impact, unfortunately. And that is why when we ask the question, have you achieved yes, in terms of the annual report, we are achieving. But when impact is a different type of a report that we can do, how we are monitoring provinces, so that provinces have capacity to monitor municipalities,
will then find that in most of the provincial courts, they are not as fully capacitated to even begin to manage municipalities. Then you then have to have some kind of special team from national that are placed in provinces, trying to help the provinces to capacitate so that they can monitor the municipalities to perform and deliver on those things that are back to basics, the five that are known, and so therefore that we run an efficient machinery that is able to deliver those things. And I think at that point it will be another matter. And the issue of the Pearl River, if you want the report, we can bring it pressure. The issue of the sewer is not the same to any issue. The spillage into the river starts from Lekwa in Mpumalanga. It goes through to Free State and Gauteng and Fuleni, Meyerton, Midvan also is moving through there. And Fuleni just happened to overwhelm the dam. But the river itself is being polluted. Now Mpumalanga is then in the dam. But with Mpumalanga also, Johannesburg village goes southwards. And that is why Johannesburg is not able to build new townships south of Johannesburg, because if you build them, they need sewer and then and even the townships that we built post-1994, a lot of them are sewering somewhere else. They don't need the treatment plant because it's old, we didn't focus on infrastructure. But as population explodes, as population grows, as migration comes in, we build new houses, new settlements, but we didn't build expand the treatment plant. It's mostly like the Eskom issue when we had load shedding. So with this one, there's no load shedding. I don't know what it's called. You need to grow certain plants and bring that fresh and so that we could then go into the population, because most of them were designed for poor people, and now we have connected people to the sanitation 80%, from 30 to 80, but we didn't improve the capacity of the water treatment. And all those things, you know, good progress, but then now it's hitting us on the pressure point now. And the army is coming to help the source of the life, which is the river. This river is populated from that going up to Northern Cape. And so many communities are on the river, including that. And it's under, they say, 50 megas of liters of waste that goes into the river daily. So it's an internal crisis. And vandalism and crime is also affecting on it. You put in pump stations 2 days, 3 days, 1 week down the land, they're stolen. Even the motors are stolen. The equipment is went to scrap. So you keep on now, the issue is with them, who guards, because the security hired by municipalities, they still with them being there. Or unless they are also associated with the criminals, we do not know. So should we declare such areas as key points, we do not know. So we want the national solution, but the army is just intervening. Whilst we are now beginning to look at say, what else can we need money to improve our treatment plants and so forth. But housing population explosion is also a cause. So don't look at that as a full any problem. It's more of us who are emitting into that system and then it's looking with a very, very aging infrastructure. That's one of those issues to look at. Thank you very much.
Okay. No, I know that I provoked you because of UK river problem. No, Polita, I do think that it is a bit brief on the report. What we should do is to have some discussion at the PM and the chief. It's not only for us because our term is ending anyway. Just to ensure that we set up some of the areas. I don't have a problem about performance reaching down everywhere. And that is very good, but there are issues that we should just do that people see themselves. And the cities general, not even a small town, I'm not going to teach you a small town there, doesn't matter. Whether it's there or not, people will go to Joburg anyway. But cities that we think they are also economic centers and half of the country.
amendment, because I don't think we are doing very well in that area. Hopefully in 12 years time, when we assess the NTP implementation, maybe we'll be performing very well. I don't know how we'll be, but 12 years is not far away from us to start dealing with some of the issues. It's very clear that a lot of challenges over from some of these areas. And let us work it out then. And let us have some discussion outside the annual report. Outside the annual report, which is another one. What do we do then to? And then Honorable Shipera was the turnaround strategy. I think it was Shipera who came with turnaround strategy. Over short at the time. And Praveen came with the strategy, I think it was back to basics. Lima Sakhan, somebody in OD, I think maybe it's Bali, in OD. It's very clear in general there are too many strategies, but it seems they're not working in general. And because even if it works, people won't complain, generally speaking. We won't have Milo and we won't have the problem that is happening. But I do think that you must target all the metros. Just turn them around. And then force people to do work. And already, you can't say back to face because can't leadership everywhere, but they're not dealing with this thing. You know, to work what happened because Sunday, we're in heaven visited and praying. Prayers without anything in your ownership. You can pray every day, I don't even work. You must turn this thing around because. If cities don't do well, and people are leaving all the rural areas, that they must live, then Tasikuku is becoming a desert. It's becoming a desert, generally. 20 years ago, Sikuku was a very rich, nice area, but it's a desert now. And the people are coming to Houten. No, look at all those mines. People are on a Zama type of approach. They're causing more houses. But there are problems that you must raise this all. I think administration will assist us. We will have to discuss it one day at the MTM. Just have a discussion, what do we do? Because it's very nice for you to appear before the committee, I think. It's just for compliance purposes. Because the rules say so. And then, but we can't really see exactly whether we are turning around the thing. And then it was very easy with your community, you have this community work. I know you like those ones. And then I'm not sure how the teacher is going to come. So one teaspoon somewhere in Fushu and someone in Bangay. It's very difficult. More expensive to come to one teaspoon. Those are issues that are very difficult. Hopefully we'll have a discussion DM about some of these areas that they will continue strategy to deal with this matter. Let us work it out. Let us see what we can do. The term is ending. What is the legacy report that we present for those in coming meetings after us? Because they must work on what is solid to an example. But otherwise, the cities, I don't think they're doing very well. Except one or two, I don't know which one. Mr. Mandela, I don't think he's doing very well. Maybe Cape Town is not doing very well. There are many cities in New York that are not doing very well. And I would have thought that COPTAS should be pushing a little bit harder on this area. And then I think we have been very, very nice, generally speaking, at a local level. There are not issues of administration, generally. Political issues that we must deal with them. When you must take you back to Futua, and then work there, you want to come here and post question and do that. No. We should work it out, colleagues, and thank you for the report. Item 2, yes, you are going to that one now. But anyway,
I'm not sure what I'm saying.
Point of privilege. Okay.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I am actually being provoked by your closing remarks.
just this winter, I happened to go home, not to get closed, in and I've been invited in a meeting, community meeting, and one thing that was discussed today was that there should be contributions made to actually get electricity in the but now, when this discussion began about 5 years ago, those people who had adopted that discussion and wanted to implement, some of them are no longer in the game. They are somewhere in Richards Bay, Durban, Gauteng, and we had these places overpopulated, just like the things are indicating. Now, my observation, Chairperson, when we went to China, was that China is overpopulated in the big cities and so on. But when you go to areas, if it was in South Africa, we call them villages, you see small factories there, infrastructure, you know, in remote areas, just far from the cities. You see, you know, there are some factories, companies there, you see there are things happening there, you know. And then I think that strategy helps China to control, you know, overpopulation in big cities. So if we don't begin to address what the chairperson and yourself are saying, you may see, you know, I mean, bad consequences in the future of our poor planet. And I think COPTA must be at the forefront with other stakeholders, other departments who may be part of it. But Chair, still based on that, you know, Chair, it's a shame that in South Africa there is still a place with only 20% connection for the city. 20%, you can go to your reports, your profile of your municipality. You find that in Umtabiyani, those who have electricity, even if you can count how the city is, maybe they have got this illegal connection. And I don't know, Honorable Chairperson, if I don't raise this matter, I might not get a chance in the next portfolio committee meeting because it might be the one in the last. So I'm taking many committees. But really, I don't know what to do. You know, my village, they're actually asking me to contribute 20,000 rand because that is what they don't have. They are short. Eskom want them to pay money, about 150,000 or so. I was born in that area with no electricity. Even today, there's no electricity. It's not a story, something that is there. In the entire municipality in Southern England, 80% of the area that doesn't have, I mean, 80% of the households that doesn't have it. I've engaged the municipal manager, I've engaged also the mayor, the contractor, I've engaged them to say, no, I think we need to do something. But their main challenge is that it is not revenue viable in this part. It is in the deep rural area. And it's actually next to the water. It's separate more than the salt and the salt. But please do something. I know all you shall be inviting, even when I will no longer be here in the next term. I heard he's pushing that guy to make an ambassador. China.
No, colleagues, you must work it out, really. The point that is raised is part of the encouragement of members to go and listen to constituencies. There was one person in the parliament that is very good in this sense, Makaula. Makaula is very good. He can joke about many things, he's very good in that, but he always talks, in fact, when you hear people commenting on radio, you can really see that Makaula is the biggest person in Parliament. But always speak about constituency issues. He jokes, but he goes always for impact. Kunama advert general Makaula about constituency. And then he makes more impact than us who sit here. She makes more impact when she talks about water. She fights a village, she fights an area. She's very specific in dealing with this thing. She's making a lot of impact. I think she's coming back anyway, I think. And
let's just take it that in the interministerial committee, it will be one of those issues, because any department is there to say universal access has not yet been achieved. And I think such an example would be the one that you've just presented.
Yeah,
when I was
meeting, it is very helpful.
No,
but I'm here. Thank you very much for this. I think you are sure with the report. I know that this evening we are presenting a report. A report will be presented and moved by the chief before adoption, and then will be declaration. And then Ube is doing my declaration as far as I know. I think very nice report, as we are saying that next year we would do it again to apply for extension, and then next year would have been two, we did not have one report, and so we move on to apply for extension. Can we move to item 2 on our agenda? And then the big assumption from our side over here from Parliament. Can we have a discussion and then presentation on this? What are the issues really that take us more than 2 years now? Talking about it.
And give an update, but also it is one of the item agenda that is on the cabinet committee now, and it has to go to cabinet next week, so that we comply with some of the things that are taken to the
committee.
Thank you for this one step in this committee. So I think it is just a matter of progress. I'll prepare it. The committee to page 7 and 8, slide 7 and 8, we have distributed that report. Now, the bill is basically begging cabin. It has been specified, and today it is serving, the minister is presenting it to cabinet. That's one of the reasons why. Yeah. But that is the cabinet cluster committee of the governance and administration cluster. So if we presenting it there, then the main cabinet will then be on the 5th of December. And once it has passed cabinet, then it will then be on its way to the joint taking committee for proper taking. We believe that if everything goes according to plan, we should be in time for the Constitutional Court deadline on the 9th of March. Because there's not going to be substantial, it's just a procedural matter. So the bill is just the same as the Act now, but for procedural purposes, it's called a new Act, and therefore the new bill. So we are hoping that it will go through the parliamentary process in time for before March 9th. Thanks.
Okay, this is a progress report. Any issue there? It seems to be next year. the last meeting of cabinet to present it on the 5th, on the 7th, we are taking leave. Then next year, then we can deal with it. Then it seems also you are not changing anything substantial. It's just a technical rearrangement for taking purposes. And then surely next year or this parliament, then we then present real amendments, whatever way that you want to do. And then I think it will take us one day to receive. Once it's out, one day, that's on the 5th cabinet. There may be some changes, but I don't think anyway. We have to meet the deadline. It took a little bit longer than I expected, teaching, because this matter was agreed on 2 years ago, or 1 year, 6 months ago, to say that this our department should do it sooner. And then we detect it, and then we take it to the system, and we close the matter. We'll see next year whether we're able to move on that, but it doesn't need a lot of time. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm only concerned about the process. If it's really I'm going to make it, because next year we don't have time. Election time, it's in committee, we're going to committee for this. My appeal, Chair, is that they must ensure that they commit to this. It's been long standing for the city. I'm really not sure whether that's going to happen. If it's going to happen, it's fine. We will push it.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, members. Just for the members who I have not yet met, I'm Advocate Charmaine Panamaravan with Parliamentary Legal Services. Chair, members, my concern just on this matter is that the deadline of 9 March is not just for the bill to be introduced and for this committee to complete the process. It is quite likely, and in fact that was what the whole court case was about, that the bill will be classified as a Section 76 bill. That means that the NCLP process has to happen, and according to the rules, that is 6 weeks. Most often in the NCLP, 6 weeks is actually not enough for them to consider the bill. Even though this bill will be the same wording, this committee still will have to do a public participation process. I'm not so concerned about the classification of the bill. That can run in conjunction with whatever is happening in this committee. It can run at the same time. There's also one thing that I'm a bit concerned about. From the presentation of the department, it seems that there will be no changes to the bill. There was one aspect of the bill that was, there were constitutional concerns raised about it, and that is about the political participation and whether you can be a member and so on. So if that is a contentious issue, it is something that the committee will have to maybe at this point in time already get some information on that. I'm not saying that the committee cannot consider everything in one day after your public participation process has gone through, but I am concerned about the NCLP process because that is quite a lengthy time. Provinces will have to have public participation and so on. I am concerned about the deadline of 9 March. At this point in time, especially taking into account that Parliament now arises for the year, and if this bill, even if introduced on the 6th or 7th of December or during December, there is no committee to consider it. There is no committee to give instruction for things to be published for the public to do participation. I'm not certain about this. I think that the committee will only be able to publish for public participation once the bill is introduced. I think that the committee could make that decision right now and give that instruction to say once the bill comes, it must be published, but you will still have to get that information in. I would recommend that the committee consider advising or recommending to the department that there is a request for extension of the deadline. I am concerned about the NCLP's process. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Well, the department is here. They do have their lawyers. I think they are advised by their lawyers, and the parliamentary legal team is advising us to the committee. you may consider the advice or you can dismiss it, really it's fine. It's just we don't have time, colleagues, truly speaking. One way or another we should try to move, otherwise we have to apply for extension. But the court is very hostile to people who apply for extension for something as small as this, general. And then because they think that we are just undermining the judiciary, that's why you want to apply by application. DG, this is in your hands and it's here.
Yes, sir. I think just to clarify that the court did not even deal with the substantive matter relating to the theory by some about the political. That is the substance. So the court took the matter out on the basis that the act itself was checked wrongly. So they could not even look into what Sam was complained was. So we're not even there yet. So at the moment, it is about the correct taking. And once that has happened, the actual substantive amendment of the act will then ensue with all those participations and so on. At the moment, the court could not even look at what Sam was. They said, no, but this act is actually wrongly done. So it must go Parliament to 75 instead of 76. So before we can even talk about it, let's make it legal. So that's the main issue.
Well, let us see, let us work it out, and call the legal team who already then to advise accordingly. Of course, the cabinet is sitting on the fact that they are saying, and the six anyway, are not here in Parliament, will be thinking about farewell, taking our jacket and leaving. The speaker will always be there until election. Can introduce the bill anytime. Is that ourselves won't be available to deal with it. Of course, the advert can be made in the Republic. It wouldn't take long because they're there. Committee comes back, you can apply for that. And technically deal with this matter. And so it'll take long. The process is there also. Also, they are not willing to deal with anything now that was not introduced or made. And I think we have to persuade them also. But I think the presentation is fine for us. The list is there. If it doesn't happen, of course, the department has to apply for extension. Then extension is planned and then we can work it out. Of course, it will be worked out by the new leadership of the and if they are retired again, they won't be around to retire. They must retire anyway.
Thank you very much. I just want clarity from our legal process to say the department is saying that the court did not deal with the substantive matter. It was just about the taking. So meeting the deadline of the 9th of March based on just the taking. Then after that, it will be open for other matters to be discussed. But for now, it's only about taking. Is this the correct way to deal with it now?
Thank you, Chief. No, what happens on the 9th of March is that the Act becomes invalid and there is no Act on the statute book if that bill is not passed and assented to by the President. So it is quite serious, that 9th of March deadline. The issue of the tagging is simply that the whole bill is invalid. And unfortunately, the Constitutional Court did not give this committee any guidance on that constitutionality issue. In other words, the section that was challenged for constitutionality, if that is included in the bill, the committee will have to consider whether that is constitutional or risk passing a bill that contains an unconstitutional clause. So it is not something that we can just leave. and just accept, oh, this can be referred to the court again. The committee will have to apply its mind. It's not to say that that clause is unconstitutional. It is just that it was challenged. So the committee will have to consider that. Like I said, I don't think it is impossible for this committee to now ask the content advisor, ask, you know, to start getting some advice on that constitutionality issue, because we know that the bill is coming. It is something that can be considered quite quickly once you have the advice, but it will have to be considered.
Okay. We are going to have time and effort. I think if you are here, we will apply for extension.
Well, the speaker said you must extend the time. I don't know what that means. So, we need to take into consideration that special application of the committee of the committee is on. You have given us that the expert
committee is also relying on the Apache. They will destroy them in Sabia Lingan and anyone else can hear. Okay, colleagues, let us work it out and we'll find a way. The legal team is here from Parliament. Of course, there's a legal team of the department. Let us work it out and find ways of doing it as soon as possible. And then we'll plan this slide also. I think that's how we should do it. Okay, thank you very much for attendance and contribution. Let us adjourn the meeting.
I want to ask you about this. What do you call this progress report on what? On the taking of the bill?
On the local government?
Local government.
Municipal systems and maintenance goals to be in the
No, I'm not sorry.